If you prefer manual, time-consuming processes, then this message isn't for you. But if you want to slash per loan cost and boost productivity, then exploring Indicom's Genius Suite is your next step. Integrate Genius into your operations or pair Genius with Indicom's expert mortgage services for proven ROI. Learn how to get Genius at work by visiting Indicom.com.
Welcome back, Housing News listeners. This is Alison Lloyd, and I'm the producer of this weekly podcast, which is a proud member of the Industry Syndicate. Today, you'll be listening to a special bonus episode, which features an episode of HousingWire's newest podcast called The Daily Download. For those not familiar with The Daily Download, it's a podcast that examines the most captivating articles reported from the HousingWire newsroom each and every day. Currently, the podcast is supported on Spotify, Google Podcasts, with iTunes coming soon. In today's crossover episode of The Daily Download, we revisit a conversation I had with the Urban Institute's Elena McCargo on how the COVID-19 pandemic is likely to impact America's Black home ownership rate. For some background on the interview, last year, the home ownership rate for Black Americans fell to 40.6% in the 3 months through June, which is the lowest level in the Census Bureau's quarterly data going back to 1994. Furthermore, it was the smallest share recorded for Black households since the 1950 decennial census, when it was 34.5%. In my interview with McCargo, she explains how this came to be and what the industry can do to change this reality. So without further ado, here's this week's bonus episode of the Housing News Podcast. Well, Elena, as you know, it's been a very difficult time for the housing industry as COVID-19 has impacted housing markets nationwide. Not only that, but the pandemic itself has burdened many Americans financially as the U.S. unemployment rate has reached Great Recession levels. In the last couple weeks, we started to get data back on who this virus is impacting, and statistics show it's disproportionately impacting America's Black communities. As several structural factors, including healthcare access, household density, and unemployment have left them more vulnerable than ever, Elena, my first question for you today is, will these factors have a long-term impact on Black home ownership?
I think the answer, very simply, if we look at historical trends on what has happened in the past during crises such as the COVID-19 pandemic, would indicate that yes, these factors will have long-term effects on Black home ownership and housing and economic mobility for Black families overall. You know, if we look at lessons from the last crisis, we know that there was a disproportionate impact on people of color as it related to the actual loss of housing, losing their homes to foreclosure, and loss of home equity during that crisis because of the implications and impacts of that crisis on households of color. We even know that after the crisis, the ability to sort of recover from it and because of tightening of credit and other things that happened was much more prolonged for Black households. And so for both of those reasons, among others, in that the healthcare and medical costs and everything else that are kind of compounded in this pandemic are in play, I think we're going to definitely see some long-term stress on African-American homeownership.
Well, how did these, let's rewind before COVID-19. As you mentioned, these issues have been impacting the African-American community for a long time. Let's rewind a little bit before. How did these issues become a situation in America?
So I'm glad you mentioned that because it's really important to note that housing in America had a number of issues prior to COVID-19. All of them are exacerbated by this crisis. We already know that housing cost burdens were high, and this is for renters and for homeowners prior to the crisis, especially for homeowners of color. We also understand, again, from past crises that the economic situation, the unemployment rate, or underemployment, not sort of income curtailment that occurred in the last crisis, really impacted Black and Latino families at a much much greater level. And so the unemployment rate for Blacks, even prior to the COVID-19 crisis, was still two times that of white unemployment, for example. And so these things compounded with the issues that we were seeing after the last crisis in the credit markets. And then I'm just talking about the contraction of lending, the changes that were put on lending guidelines that really made it more difficult for people to become homeowners and get a mortgage loan approved have all just have been issues and were always there. And there were things that we were working towards trying to really kind of remedy still and recover from. And we still had persistent racial homeownership gaps, a 30-point gap between the Black and white homeowners and a 26-point gap between Hispanic and white homeowners. So huge gaps that still persisted in homeownership and wealth building that we were still grappling with and trying to address. So again, just the crisis really exacerbates all of those issues.
Well, given this information, how can the housing industry work to not only support Black home ownership, but reduce this gap between Black and white home ownership?
So I think there's been a lot of things that have been at play. We recommended or did some work and research last year that really talked about a 5-point framework of what the kind of, what the housing industry needed to do to really focus on reducing the Black-white home ownership gap. Some of those things include really equitable access to the housing finance system. And that goes again back to my point on access to credit, making sure loans are affordable and available in an equitable way across the board. That's certainly one kind of big piece of the solution. Looking at issues locally was another thing that we really teased out in our framework. Understanding the local zoning, land use, and kind of local policies that have been barriers for accessing homeownership, I think is another key factor. Some of the other barriers to homeownership, such as down payment assistance and helping families and households build their savings so they can purchase a home, another kind of key factor in really building those supports and the policies around that to help subsidize and bring that long-term support into focus to help those families is key. Housing sustainability is another critical piece of the pie. And that just means that when we go through economic downturns such as this, that that we really focus on keeping people in their homes. Whether, you know, ensuring foreclosure prevention and counseling is in place to support these families, making sure that loss mitigation options are available to these families through their servicers who are holding their loans and supporting them are critical so we can ensure that people do not face default and foreclosure at a higher rate like what we saw in 2008. And so those are some of the things that the housing industry really needs to focus on. And I think these sustainability factors, access to credit issues, and ensuring that the system that supports the majority of loans that are taken out by Black and Hispanic families, like FHA loans and a strong FHA, are all just critical parts of the equation.
Right. See, I'm glad you brought up access to credit, as recently former Vice President Joe Biden, who also happens to be the Democratic Party's presumptive nominee in November, urged voters to support his plans to boost economic prospects of Black Americans, including an increase in home ownership. And according to Biden, the government needs to end discrimination in credit reporting by creating new public credit reporting agency to catch and eliminate racial disparities. Do you think this is likely to happen, and will it improve the situation?
So it's a great question. The issue of access to credit and credit reporting agencies, I haven't examined or done any in-depth research yet on the plan that Biden has released, but I would just suggest that based on prior research we've done, particularly our kind of explaining the Black-white homeownership gaps, one of the critical factors that explains what we're seeing in the credit markets is credit scoring. And there is definitely, there has been a lot of conversation about how credit scoring systems may have bias in those systems that are legacy issues that we need to sort of look at updating and upgrading. We also know that the housing finance agencies really may use outdated models in terms of how they make those determinations about access to credit. And so it's really, really important that we keep in focus, real analysis that looks at how credit is treated, how potentially alternative credit models may become a part of underwriting in the future, and really look at sort of the underlying potential for bias and discrimination, and just make sure that we've got that sort of shored up. That's a huge part of the system that really does need to be continuously examined.
All right. And then so my last question for you today is, we talked about the gap in Black home ownership, what we can do to improve credit reporting. Do you think there's anything we need to know to understand Black home ownership in America?
I mean, there is the biggest thing that everyone should know about Black home ownership in America is that there's a huge portion of the gap that is unexplained by typical factors. We talk about factors like income, factors like credit scoring, even factors like marriage and education as sort of underlying reasons as to why we have or see these gaps. A lot of the work that we've done at the Urban Institute to really unpack this also suggests there's a large percentage, over 17%, that is still unexplained by those typical underwriting types of factors. And so I think the real work to disentangle and understand where systemic racist policies of the past, that are really persistent and continuing to create issues in sort of Black people becoming homeowners, I think are definitely areas that we need to continue to analyze and understand and really, like I said, disentangle and really start to shore up for the future. I think there's some very clear areas where you can see in the data. We all know about historic redlining and things that are happening in the Black community. I think there's a lot of work to do to really understand why Black homeowners have been so severely impacted, why recovery has been much harder for the Black community, how we saw such huge losses in Black homeownership through the last crisis, and how to ensure that after the COVID experience, we do not see an increased number of Black families lose their homes or lose equity or be impacted. I think the biggest thing that people need to understand about Black home ownership in America is that it is incredibly vulnerable, that the rate of homeowners of color continues to lag that of white America. The white home ownership rate today is roughly 73%. The Black homeownership rate is below 43%. And the gaps that are persistent and have been there all along have the real possibility of getting a lot worse in the aftermath of the COVID-19 pandemic. And we know from experience how to deal with this and we should take the opportunities where we can to put forth policies that would help ensure more equitable opportunities for homeownership and wealth building in Black America.
All right. Well, thank you, Elena, for taking the time to talk to us about this really important topic.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for listening to the Housing News Podcast. Please don't forget to give us feedback and rate us on iTunes. And if you like today's crossover episode of the Daily Download, please make sure to check it out on Spotify, Google Podcasts, and HousingWire.com. Thank you, and we'll see you next week.